Tell us, first of all, where this contract stands right now. And is this something that the Dodgers basically started working on when they acquired Mookie Betts? Did they start laying the groundwork right away?
That's really a good question. I think we did hear right this morning, again, starting with Lou Maloney out of Boston, kind of, we got that report that, you know, they were closing in on something, and we were able to confirm that part. But a lot of the questions about the timing kind of remains mysterious. And I think that's actually like a really good question, right? It's like, when was this agreed to? Because one thing that is interesting, I think, is that this is almost like a pre-pandemic contract, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, we had heard so much about, you know, how the pandemic and, right, the labor situation and the winter is going to be all dried up for these players. You kind of do wonder a little bit, like, okay, was there, like, because there was an embargo on all deals and stuff for a while, right? There was a, yes, right, Major League Baseball came to like a complete transactional freeze. So, you know, you wonder, okay, did they agree to this back in the spring? I mean, I think that these are all questions, again, once this thing gets formally announced, definitely we'd be interested to find out ourselves.
Dylan, how much pressure does this take off of the manager? Right. Every time you talk about the Dodgers, you think about the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. How do they structure lineups? How do they use their rotation? How are they using their closer and Kenley Jansen? Has this basically just dumbed it down and saying, here's the lineup, go get them and win us a World Series? Is it a lot about that?
Kind of, but like, you know, LA is a different, it's a weird market here, right? In that, again, everything is measured against the sports in this city. It's about the Shaq and Kobe Lakers still, right? Mm-hmm. Where they won three championships in a row, right? And Kobe went on to win two more without Shaq. And, this city feels that championships are a birthright, right? And even though, like, obviously, like basketball, you know, there's a good chance that the best team's going to win, right? Most years, I think we agree, okay, the best team won. Baseball is obviously not that type of sport. I would argue, right, you know, mm-hmm, 162 games, yes, excellence gets proven over 162 games. Playoffs, bit of a crapshoot. And, you know, what's actually happened is, with the Dodgers doing so well in the regular season and kind of failing year after year to win a World Series, in the city, they're kind of viewed as chokers, right? They've become, we're into like Buffalo Bill status here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would actually argue getting this thing done adds more pressure to, really, Dave Roberts. Now, oh yeah, for sure. Now it's going to be like, hey, like, look, you got, you know, because the one thing I think up until now, right, especially with, you know, with Andrew Friedman and the whole Guggenheim group, is the fact that, this is going to be the first $100 million contract he's given out since he's come to the Dodgers. I know there's just this kind of impression out there that they're spending a ton, but really they've been about, you know, trying to kind of develop homegrown players and really kind of finding bargains here and there. You know, guys like, you know, Max Muncy was picked up the scrap heap, Chris Taylor off the scrap heap, you know, and so they haven't, right, and, you know, like last offseason they were in on Gerrit Cole, and, right, they just got out, you know, they at the end just got outbid by the Yankees, right, and so the feeling here has been like, you know, that the Dodgers are basically very cautious, like poker players, right? And mm-hmm, that the emphasis has been on, okay, let's not do anything rash that could maybe sink us for, right, that will be like an albatross down the road. Let's make sure that we're competitive every year, get to the playoffs every single year, and hopefully, right, by, you know, probability says that we're going to win at least once if we keep going every year. And Mookie Betts, in some ways, trading for him, to me, signified a pretty big shift in philosophy, where I think once they were getting to the playoffs, you were seeing, you know what, like, these high-end performers matter, right? When mm-hmm, when they got knocked off by the Houston Astros in that World Series, right, it was Verlander that took them down, you know? Mm-hmm. The next World Series, Mookie Betts didn't have a great series there, but, you know, J.D. Martinez certainly did, right? And so you kind of got this feeling of like, okay, so what they need is like kind of a high-end type player. And so they went out and did it with Mookie Betts, right? They actually did one thing that they really didn't want to do, which was kind of give up a high-end young player. They did that in Verdugo. Now I think that, again, right, now it's kind of like, okay, what's your excuse now? Mm-hmm. How can you not win now, right? You have the depth that you've talked about. You have the superstar. you better go win. So I think, yeah, you know, if it doesn't happen, you know, that he's going to be up on Dave Roberts here.
Yeah, what will L.A. think about them winning it in 60 games? Will it be as big a deal to the people, fans, just the big L.A. market if they win it through 60 games?
Yeah, I am actually fascinated to find that out myself. Yeah. Right? I mean, on one hand, I think there's some excitement in the air. You know, baseball's coming back. You know, and a huge part here, too, is for the last, like, 6 years, most of Los Angeles has not been able to watch the Dodgers on television.
Right.
Like, the Dodgers launched their own channel, were failed. You know, they couldn't get distribution. And starting this year, finally AT&T picked them up. AT&T owns also DirecTV. So now most of the households in L.A. can watch the Dodgers finally for the first time. So I think that the viewership will be up from home, even if people can't go to games. But you do kind of wonder, right? Again, mm-hmm. you know, part of the fun is that you've gone out to the ballpark and seen these guys, you know, up close in person. And, you know, I wonder, too, something like a parade, right? As stupid as a parade might seem, you know, to those of us in the business, you know, because to me, the value of a championship is it's in the journey, right? It's in the collective journey. It's, mm-hmm. it's an experience, you know? And I remember, you know, I used to, my previous job was up in the Bay Area. I still have a lot of friends up there. And I remember when the Giants were kind of making their march, you know, to the World Series, I have some friends that are like diehard Giants fans. And they were just kind of, right, they met me like after like a playoff game or something. And, you know, I remember one of my friends telling me, you know, I've been waiting my whole life for this. I can't believe like I'm getting to like experience this, you know, and it's right. And he wasn't even going to the games. It was just going to the bars and watching the games with other like-minded people. And so when that social aspect isn't there anymore, is it going to be the same? I'm not so sure. I'm going to be fascinated to find out.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Nationals last year, right? They trade their best offensive player. They get off to such a slow start, and then they come back and they win it. But I want to switch gears just a little bit and ask you about Gavin Lux. I heard Dave Roberts say there's a lot of things with Gavin's swing. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I think, you know, right, with most players, I think, you know, you always talk about as you get older, you want to kind of simplify things, right?
Yeah.
You know, just in our market, you know, Shohei Ohtani has talked about that actually on both sides of the ball. You know, he talked about, you know, I'm trying to simplify my delivery as a pitcher, my swing as a hitter, you know? And you always kind of hear young players talk about that. I'm trying to kind of, right, because there's so many moving parts. And I think what you really are trying to do is kind of isolate those real key parts of your swing and maybe get rid of the extraneous stuff, right? So it seems like there's some of that going on there. You know, at the same time, you know, you do wonder, is this a roster, you know, is a service time manipulation thing, right? You know, on one hand, the Dodgers haven't been doing too much of that, it seems, at least, you know, under this front office, it seems that they have been prioritizing winning, and they call up guys when they're ready, as opposed to like kind of flagrantly keeping guys down for the sake of like, you know, the service time thing. But, you know, especially here, I guess it's a 60 game season. It's a sprint, you know, and if it's just about keeping them down 10 days so you can have them another year. I don't know. That's a pretty long time. You know what I mean? A 60 game season, a week and a half.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not a service time manipulation thing, but at the same time, you know, the business is the business, right? And that's kind of become, unfortunately, the standard across baseball where, you know, the Chris Bryant situation, you know, Yasiel Puig with the Dodgers, right? He hit like 500 in spring training, somehow doesn't make the team, but it was, you know, all intended to, you know, get that extra year, you know, before he can become a free agent. So from the team standpoint, it makes sense from a business side.